meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 20th of December 2018. In the call, we have Dennis, Bill, Matt, Michael, and Pitinan. Over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Pitinan. So let's start with, before jumping to resuming the event analysis, I'd like to recap on the next steps. I think there were 8 next steps there. Pitinan, do you have the list handy? It was on an email, or probably I can just put it on the chat. Let's see if that pasted correctly. Yeah, if you have the email handy, maybe you can show it. Otherwise, let me see if it's, oh yeah, no, it's awful. It doesn't, yeah, it doesn't copy the list as a list, yeah.
Let me manage, just give me 1 minute.
Or if I have presentation, can I do a whiteboard thing?
I guess you can share the screen if you have it open.
Yeah, I can share the screen. Okay, so I'm going to share the screen.
For your information, I'm not able to join you on your computer for the moment because I'm still on my way home.
You cannot, okay. Noted. So we'll try to close caption it for you.
Thanks.
All right, so as usual, my Adobe Connect crashed, so let me reopen it, please.
I'm glad it's not just me having technological challenges.
Yeah, it's been like forever now. Every time I share my screen for the first time, Adobe Connect crashes.
I found your Cisco solution to be much more reliable than this Adobe solution then.
Yeah, the Cisco WebEx?
Yeah, exactly. Like when we had conferences on your WebEx.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm seeing your screen now, Dennis, or the list now, Dennis.
Yeah, the list, yeah. Pitinan put the list on the screen for us, so thank you, Pitinan. All right. So, Michael, what we're looking at the screen right now is the 8 items we collected, I think, 2 weeks ago, in order to, you know, kind of scope in our work towards completing the next iteration of the proposal to present to the IP before we meet in Brussels the first week of February. So number one, we have incorporated the responses from action items from Brussels to the document to the main proposal. So that's on me. I mean, we completed the review of all action items based on our workshop in Brussels with our interaction with the IP. So that's done. We just need to now build the narrative within the proposal so that we can address their concerns and comments. So that's coming. So, and again, that's my action items. And Pitinan, if you can help me take notes of owners and the status on each of the action items, I will appreciate it.
Okay, sure. I cannot do it right away because it's showing PDF, but I'll note it in my local and I will share.
Sure, thank you. So number two, the analysis of HTML underlinings. If you remember the email from IP on diacritics below, that's still outstanding, so we need to get on that. Same thing as the IDNA 2003 compatibility issues, which is called
I have
out.
A question.
Yes.
Yeah. On the HTML underlying, do we have any idea of how we should do the analysis, or we have to start from scratch?
Well, that's a good question, Matt. The only information or input that we have, I'm sorry, makeup. So the only input that we received was just that email, right? And one example of a screenshot showing that the some diacritics may be obscured by HTML underlining. So I think we need to start from scratch to answer your question as to, okay, so, okay, the premise is the HTML linking thing obscures diacritics below. So is that true? In what cases? What's the probability, et cetera, et cetera? I think, yeah, we need to build a framework and criteria, and from there we draw our conclusions based on that and present it to us. So there's no owners there. So if anybody volunteers to jumpstart the analysis, please, you're welcome to do it.
This is Mikhail. I would like to put myself in the queue.
Mikhail, go ahead.
I was going to say that I could make a suggestion about that, but essentially with what you said, we could... Obviously, this concerns modifiers below base characters. So I think that we should kind of shortlist all characters which have a modifier below the baseline in our repertoire, and then run the same kind of tests we have done for our non-variant analysis, for our non-visual variant analysis now. Maybe in that web interface, what it was, wordmark.it or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Where do we find HTML underlined in this, in what type of application? Is it on web browsers as well? I mean, so on and so forth. I account for all the use cases, and we'll have to make it, build a framework and, defend it to the extent that we can and present it to the IP, and we will get something back. Okay. So if anybody wants to volunteer to tackle that one, please let us know. Number three is the analysis of IDNA 2003 compatibility issues stated in MSR4. So we have two code points that are, as IP has asked, the Latin generation panel to look at. The one is the Sherman, German sharp S and the dotless I. Again, we need to address those compatibility issues and see what our recommendations are for those two code points. Number four, I think we can strike that out already, right? Finish review Brussels homework. We already did that, and which was a dependency on number one, so that one was done or is done. Five, expand base character analysis. I think this was called out by you, Maika, right? That we in our last workshop in Brussels, we listed a few of the examples from the base character analysis that we want to do, but there are others that you said we need to look at as well. So I think we're waiting on you to define these cases.
Yes, that's correct. I already I promised it to you a couple of times. I already have worked on it. I'm about finished. I need to do a final review pass. I didn't get around to it last week because I was unable to work a lot at home because of building efforts somehow. I should have it by the time we are through with this variant analysis task we're doing right now, where we're reviewing everyone's contribution. So
all right.
You can expect it probably before the end of the year. Like I said, already done. I just need to do a final review. Thank you.
Thank you. The next one, number six, compile the list of circles, which is also complement to the number seven, compile list of vertical bars. Bill gave us a draft of those, and I think it's ready for everyone's review, so we'll incorporate that analysis into the proposal. I think before that, we would just need to I think we have time today. I think we can review those items. And
I
last
need to do that because as I noted in my cover email, I included some cases that I know are marginal, but I thought it was better to let everybody take a look at them rather than just taking only my analysis of which ones were solid and which ones were marginal.
Sure. Thank you, Bill. Yes, I think we should do that so that we have a cleaner copy, if you will, for the proposal to be incorporated. And the last action item or item in this list is to produce the test labels for the LGR proposal. And that's, I think that's a must have for the next iteration. I think it's been a couple of times now that we have submitted proposals and without a test labels, and the IP has in every instance have requested for those test labels. So I think I need to press hard on this one and who can produce these test labels. And to be honest, I think this is going, well, we don't have contextual rules and, right?
Well, indirectly, we do have. Directly, we don't.
And when you say indirectly, is the basic whole-level evaluation rule for DNS labels, or what do you mean by indirectly?
No. I'm talking about the fact that we have sequences. And it's kind of, it's creating an indirect contextual rule.
Yes. Correct, and I think I was going there. So we need to incorporate in these test labels those combining sequence and aim for positive and false test cases, right? We want to make sure that those sequences that are in the correct form are valid, are tested valid, and put some kind of diacritic in a different position in order to invalidate the label.
I wonder if you could help me out a little here. I'm not entirely clear what is meant by test cases in this context.
Test labels.
So I guess in the Latin script it's going to be easier, but I mean you can imagine where other generation panels have come up with a very complicated whole level evaluation rules or contextual rules as far as some copoints or sequences, and so the IP want the GP to provide labels that they can run through the LGR and test those rules. For example, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, they want some labels that are valid and other labels that are invalid. And then they want to take the labels and make sure that all the valid labels pass and all the invalid labels fail.
I have a question.
I think this is quite simple. I have created such labels, hundreds of them. So I could, for me, it's no problem to do that. For me, we do that in PDT testing all the time.
All right. Thank you, Matt. So I hear that you volunteer to deliver number 8. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Could I ask a question about that, please?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Those test labels, we are not supposed to create them manually, are we? I think we could be able to generate them automatically by, I don't know, I guess permutation of the repertoire somehow, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we could have a permutation, and that would create quite a lot of labels. So if we combine all things, and then you could only combine the positive. We have to insert something which is not in the table or in our list to create the negative. So I don't think they don't request a complete. They just request a sample. So that it's not that hard to do that manually.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I agree. It's a sample of test labels, especially focusing on those special cases like we have combining sequences which are not encoded as a precomposed format. So those are the ones that IP is going to be looking at, especially, and potentially also the variants, right? All the cross-scripts variants that we are defining, so that I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I mean, the variants, they will look hard at all the cross-script variants that we're going to test, and they are going to look at symmetry and transitivity properties, but maybe they also expect some test labels for that.
Symmetry and transitivity, that could be calculated from the table.
Correct.
But maybe they want not single test labels, but a set or actually a list, so that first register this one, and then make sure that the next one will not be registered to handle variants.
Mm-hmm.
So first register something with Cyrillic, which blocks a Latin one, and then try to register the Latin one, and that should block.
Right.
We do that for PDT. Yeah.
Right. But IP would not. I mean, I look. What I'm hearing is that you're suggesting that the IP has there's a registration process, but all they're going to do is to test the label through the LGR.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We could. I could send a question to IP if they want test labels that test variant rules too.
Sure. Yeah, no. Please, go ahead. Yes.
This is Pitilan. I'd like to put myself in the queue.
Yes, Pitilan, please go ahead.
Okay. So far, for the other generation panel, what they do is they actually have to test three parts of the LGR in the test label file. So the first thing they need to test is the repertoire itself. So basically, they will prepare a sample set of labels. Ideally, it will be from everyday use words. So it's not come from the mathematical computations, but if it's from dictionary or for the corpus. And that would just to see how the coverage of our repertoire versus the real usage of the words. And for that test, first of all, test if every code point in the repertoire is okay and passed the LGR. And also we have to test the invalid part. So like Matt said, try to provide some of the labels which include the excluded code points. And let's see if it really returned invalid. So that's first part, the test of the repertoire. For the second part, the test of the variant. So I will paste the samples in the chat box. Let's see. So that's the sample test file from Cyrillic. If you go toward the end of the files, they will just list the possible variants. And so what you want to do is that paste the original labels and then list all the possible variants and also note down the disposition of it. So the test will be two things. First of all, is the LGR generate the variant label correctly? And the second is the disposition of each one is as expected. Most of us probably will generate a block, but this will be test in case of Chinese. They might have some cases for allocatable variants as well. But for Latin, I guess, we can look at the Cyrillic as the sample, and most of them are blocked. For the last part, the BLE rules, I don't see that for Latin script, you will have the complex rules to test. So probably we can focus on the first two. The sequence test is, you can treat it the same way as the repertoire test. So come up with some of the levels which include those sequences, and that will be enough. So let me stop here, and let's see if you have further question or comment.
So this is cool. What I think I'm hearing is we generate some valid labels, and we generate some invalid labels, and then we generate some pairs or sets where some of the code points are variants, either cross-script variants or in-script variants, and those can be used for testing. Is that what we're talking about doing?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Right, and we're talking about something like 10 or 20 labels per cases that you want to test. So it doesn't have to be the extensive list, but it should be cover all the possible cases.
Thank you, Bettina. Matt, see your hand up.
Yeah. So the list that we see, it doesn't cover any cross-script variants, but it's possible to give that, right?
Right, it's possible to give the cross-script variants as well.
Yeah, because they have no examples of that.
Right. I'll paste another samples from Indic script. So in there are a lot of variants. Let's see. Okay. The next link is from Canada, which they have like maybe 50% similar with Telugu, the sister scripts. So if you look at towards the end, some of the listed label is from the cross script. And just the last link for me. So this one is listed all the published LGR. So it's include each LGR package will include the XML, the proposals, and the test label. So you can see the sample of the test label from other script from the last link I just pasted. That's all. Thank you.
I would like to ask something.
Yes, Michael.
Please go ahead.
Regarding the cross-script variant labels and testing them, I think it would be possible. So first of all, it's my impression that this is more business of IP because it's their job to integrate different label generation rules into the root zone. And I think at the point of integration, they will kind of cross-track those cross-group variant rules. But secondly, I think it would be possible to generate them from the labels and the test cases submitted by the other generation panels, that is the relevant ones. So we could take a look at the Armenian proposal, at the Cyrillic proposal. I think the Greek one isn't published yet. And you could also extrapolate parts of those things from the XMLs that they have contributed together with their written proposal. There is an XML tool online where I think you can combine and split up different label generation rules and stuff like that. So there should be an automated way to do that. I assume that Pitinan would know more about that stuff than me. In the case of, otherwise it's just like Pitinan explained, we did the same in the case of Arabic scripts. So we were generating basically variants. It was mostly about variants. So we would take a label and say, okay, label A has X variants, and those variants, and then we would explicitly say which labels are valid, which labels are invalid, and why. That is, which rule leads to them being valid or invalid. This is what I seem to remember. Yes, thank you.
All right. Can I just add to that? Okay. For the test purpose, so I think one of the purpose of the test label is also to communicate with IP as well as the general audience to understand the expected result of the LGR. So at the end, the last link that I post is on the public in ICANN website, which normally when people want to understand what is this LGR tables supposed to expect, they can take a look at the test labels and kind of understand, oh, this is valid, this kind is invalid. So also that's one purpose of the test label. For the second point about automatically generate the possible variants, the LGR tool that we have online, it can do that for you. And please feel free to use it. But after you use this and see the generated labels, please also check if that's as expected. Because we first of all, we would like to check if the LGR behaves as we expected. But this is the result of the tools already, so we cannot like check A with the A. But yeah, of course, you can generate by the tools, but please still kind of check if that's the expected result of the GP. And of course, you can just list the main labels and hand over to us as well. We can generate the list of variants and share back with you if that helps.
All right, that's helpful, Pitinan. Okay, I think it's clear and somewhat straightforward what we want to do. Yep. So with that, so a quick recap. So on the list, number one, to incorporate all the outcomes or resolutions on the Brussels workshop or Brussels action item, that's on me. I need to incorporate that into our proposal. Number two and three, HTML underlying and IDNA 2003 compatibility issues, that's the remaining. Somewhat need to do. Four is done. Five, base character analysis, that's Michael. He's close to do that. Six and seven, circle and vertical bar, that's we're going to review next. And eight, that's the production of test labels. Matt's going to work on that. All right, so can we move now? We want to move. Well, before we move, any other questions about the eight action items or eight items? Okay, hearing nothing, let's move on to look at the list that Bill compiled for us, the circles and vertical bars. Pidinan, can you open that document, please, for us?
Okay. Give me a minute.
Do you have the email? I think it was sent. It was sent on the 8th December.
Okay.
By Bill.
Yep, I'm opening it. I need to convert just a little for the Adobe Connect.
I'm sorry, you said something? You want me to share it instead?
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm presenter. Sorry about that. All right, yeah, we'll do that. I'm opening and barring any technical issues, you will see that screen shortly. Or maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah. Something's happening. There it is.
There it is. All right. There it is.
Okay.
Let me see. Just need to... It's 300%.
Was it an email sent by Bill, was it?
I'm sorry, Michael. Again? Come again?
The file you're showing, I've now dialed into IDN to the meeting room. And the file you're sharing, it was shared by Bill in an email, was it?
By Bill, yeah. It was an email by Bill on 8th December.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. So IP asked us to look at all vertical lines and circle shapes so that we create cross-grid variants regardless some of the scripts for these copons are not related to the Latin script. So Bill compiled a list. Let's start with the top vertical lines. And I think we start with the ones that we know, Latin letter L, Latin dot less I, the Cyrillic, we are familiar with that one. There's now a Hebrew, Arabic, then Orilla vowel sign A, and a CJK unified ideograph. So that's the first, I think, what Bill is making the case for
may
the
I,
wrong cases, and then
may I make
another
comment?
Yes.
So,
didn't catch the name, but yeah, Matt. Is that Matt?
Yes.
Go ahead, Matt.
So Arabic and Hebrew are right to left, but maybe it makes no difference. I was just thinking that it's complicated. But if you have a number of them, three of the same type after each other, then the direction makes no difference. So, no, I don't want to say anything. I was thinking aloud.
I could respond to that briefly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have Michael and then Pitinan.
Yeah, I just want to say that we should not rely, in my opinion, on left to right as opposed to right to left encoding. There has been some kind of a, what's the term? There has been some kind of a universal acceptance research group within CFAIDN. The task force on Arabic scripts, which has also developed the Arabic script proposal, and the results are very incoherent and unstable. So even though in theory those things should be right to left, often much there is a complete mix-up of directionality within certain strings. So like part of the label has a right-to-left directionality, part of the label has a left-to-right directionality, for example. So we shouldn't rely on that, even though in theory this would be a strong cue to identifying a label as
is not what is expected. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Idina?
Hi, right. I'd like to add some point about how when we come to analyze the variance, one of the aspects that we should think of is when we generate the variance is on the label level. So for example, if we look at the vertical line, the 0B3E on the screen right now, the urea vowel sign R. So this sign is something they call combining mark, meaning they cannot be without any consonant. So in that script, the vowel is something cannot be alone. It acts differently from A, E, I, O, U. It has to be incorporated with the base consonant. So in this case, the dotted circles mean they are waiting for the consonant. So one of the criteria to think of is this code point needs to be considered as the variant or not is to think of if there are enough code points between two scripts that can generate exactly the same label. So for Oria vowel sign R, probably this is the only code point they have in similar with Latin L, and they don't have any other things at all that look the same. And they also cannot create the labels comprised of like vertical line, vertical line, vertical line, because this line cannot stand alone. And for that reason, probably there is no variant relationship between Oria and Latin. So that's one point we need to think about. If there are enough code points to generate exactly the same labels from the separate script, then that would be the point that we consider the code point as variant.
Thank you, Pitin, and that's useful elements to decide whether a particular couple makes a list or not. Bill, I saw your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, I still see it. Okay, go ahead.
I take Pitinan's point, and that's, as I said, I included some code points that I didn't think were relevant just for completeness, but I do have a question in my mind. As to what exactly the IP asked for? Did they ask for vertical lines, or did they ask for vertical lines that could conceivably be part of a variant label? Just to make sure we're giving them what they in fact asked us for.
I'm pretty sure that they talked about the variant, variant labels.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to make sure we knew what we were being asked to provide. If that's the case, if we want to make the assumption that that's the case, fine, no problem. In which case, all of the
This is Pippin. Can I just add that quickly? Even though this is still like the marginal case, but it is very useful to also list it and put the discussion around it. Even though the conclusion, if it's not the variant, it's very useful to still list it. So the general readers, when they read, they don't raise the question of are this has been analyzed or not. So this is very useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Pitinan. I think I have Michael.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say that, of course, we need to look at potential labels can be constructed, and for that we may need more than one code point. However, labels can also consist of a sequence. So I don't see in theory why an RDNA label could not be like .iii or something. If there's a plausible case for something like that, then I don't think we need to restrict the I don't think it will help us that much in effectively restricting the number of potential variant cases we need in between two scripts to actually establish the variants or not. And also the urea case, I agree that we need to look up to take into consideration much more whether something is a code point which stands by itself or a modifier of some sort. But I saw that in this list below, there is also another urea element, which is not a modifier or something, urea letter tha. Clearly, there are other cases still on the list where we can't rely on just single code points. We need to look at it contrastively, so to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anybody else? Pitinan?
Yes. So, right. I think this is probably a very good example Michael points out. So if we go down in, we have the O shape. Sorry to jump ahead, but I think this might clear it up. So 0B20, the urea letter pa on page, on the last page. 0B20. Okay. So in this case, it's a little bit different from the vertical line above because for this case, 0B20 is the consonant itself. So it can be standalone. So it can be generated OOO alike, label kind of thing. So this such case should be included in variant consideration because it's possible. But this a little bit different from the vertical line because the vertical line 0B3E above, it cannot be standalone. So in that case, 0B3E plus 0B3E and plus 0B3E cannot happen. It is not allowed by the WLE rules of ODR.
I have a queue, so please let's use the queue. So I have Bill and then Michael.
So, Pitinan, could we have a label which, for instance, starts with 0B20 followed by the 0B3E? Would that be a valid
if that is the valid, that's possible. I have to check to be 100% be able to answer if it's valid, but yeah. By the structure of the language, it's possible.
Okay, so in that case, even though the vertical line can't stand alone, since we do have another letter in the list of things that they asked for, perhaps we should include it on the basis that it could be part of a letter of a label that would become a variant. Thank you.
Right. That's a correct analysis.
Okay, I have Michael, then Mats.
Thank you. I just want to say we also have to take a look at how things actually combine in different scripts. So, yes, we cannot construct a label consisting only of modifiers, but we construct label of something plus a modifier, for example. And then we actually have to see in practice how those modifiers in those other scripts turn out to render as a glyph once they are modifying something. So just because in isolation form, for example, in the MSR, they may look like something, such as here a Latin small letter L, that doesn't mean that in combined form they actually still look the same. So we need to look at two things. First of all, how they combine. And then the second thing we also need to look at is
if they're actually part of the proposal, because just because that code point is included in MSR doesn't mean it's included in the proposal by the relevant script-using community. If it's not included, then I also don't think we need to consider it for our variant analysis. Thank you.
Good point, Michael. We go to Matt now.
Yeah, I think that all cases where we have a combining mark, we should have a sequence, just as we have in our repertoire, and then compare that sequence with a sequence of Latin characters to create that variant, a possible variant. Then it's much clearer what we compare.
Yeah, that's, to build on Matt, that's a very good point. It may be the case that since this is a vowel, it may be the 0B3E may be only combinable with certain consonants or other letters. So we need to look at it. I mean, what Bill here is a comprehensive list of all the cases that we need to look at, right? And what we're doing now is qualifying whether they make a case or not for a variant. So, and that's what we are meant to do. So this is a good conversation that we're having now. We have a list with, I believe, is complete. And now we have to qualify each one of these cases, taking into consideration all these elements that we have talked about, whether we have a combining sequence, and the allow combining sequences is allow per the LGR proposal. And also, for example, Arabic, right, right to left, in the Arabic letter, does the Aleph shape maintains itself? Because we know the Arabic letters will change or shift the shape based on the position in a label. So that's also something that we need to take into account. So Bill, based on the input, can you continue doing this analysis and trying to qualify each of these cases?
I'm willing to make an attempt, but if you're asking if I can speak to what the rules are in various other languages, I confess I'm going to be in over my head. I'm willing to try, but it's
yes. We're all asking just to try.
okay.
That's okay. I mean,
would like to comment.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Yes, I think it's very, how do you say in English, valiant by Bill to be ready to try and everything. But I think this task may be more complex than we anticipated, and I think we should plan it accordingly. What we have done just now, as you also noticed, Dennis, is we've been doing a brainstorming of kind of the factors involved. I think what would be more useful and productive in regard to actually achieving a workable and consistent result would be that we summarize those rules we have just discussed in an ad hoc based discussion in a written form, so that we can agree on those rules and those restrictions and follow that actually through. So maybe that would be a better approach to it.
I like it. Any other ideas, objections, support?
I think that makes sense, yes.
All right. All right, so let's do that.
So could then, I don't know, what? How about since you asked Bill to help with this point, and Bill just offered to help, would it be possible that maybe you, Bill, would try to sum up the points we had today, and then we'd like kind of chime in on that document? We could create like a separate document with those rules, and then come in and see if we forgot anything or maybe there was a misunderstanding, and then build on that, for example, during our next telephone conference call?
Yes, I can try to do that. I unfortunately was not taking notes explicitly on this, but since we have a recording, I can go back and listen to that and make sure I've got a sense of what we were trying for.
Yes, maybe Pitina could also help with the recording to provide the link for the recording. And if you need help with that, I can also assist you, Bill.
Yeah, I will draft something up and then email it to the group so that everybody can take a shot at it.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for stepping forward and doing the task. All right, so with 6 minutes left on the hour, let me just quickly see what our next weeks are going to look like. I think the following 2 weeks, we're not having a meeting, and we are reconvening on January 10th. Is that correct? Is that what you all have in your calendars? Yes.
Yeah.
And Pitinan is confirming. Well, so our next meeting is going to be on January 10th. Same channel, same time. So hopefully we will have some of the action items progressing or and even potentially completed. So we're going to be in good shape to submit something. I guess, I mean, based on what I've seen in the calendar, and so we're meeting on the 4th February, and we want to provide IP at least 2 weeks to review our proposal. So that means that, okay, so hold on a second. Let me see if I can, there you go. So we want to submit the proposal by no later than January 18th. Is that right?
Yes. That's very, very soon.
It is, but if we want to make, I think that was the original plan, right? To have something submitted to, or I mean, send the next iteration to IP so that our workshop will be focused on addressing those comments, right? I understand it's soon, yes,
yeah.
With the holidays and stuff. Yeah, it's very soon. But I think we have to stick something in the ground so that we know where we are aiming towards. So.
Yeah, this is Bill. I would say we should get them something that soon, and if it's only answered some of their points and not all of them, I think that would still be useful. You know, if we send them a response that you gave us 6 questions you wanted answered and we have answers to 4 of them and the other 2 are still in progress, I think that would still get us useful feedback.
Yeah, I agree with Bill. At the very least, we'll have all the, you know, prior proposals, concerns or comments addressed by way of all the action items and rationales that we've worked through several weeks now. We will have potentially some of the, you know, cross scripts, vertical and circles, a draft proposal of what we're going to look at and how we're doing that. We're going to have test labels, potentially. So yeah, we'll have not a complete proposal, but I think one that has progressed since the last time they saw it.
Also, I, for example, will be continuing to work before our next meeting because I probably will have some free time on my hands with the holidays over here. So I think we will have some progress by our next meeting.
Yep. Yeah, I certainly hope so. And I too, I mean, I have some free time. I'm gonna be busy on the second week of January, right before our first meeting. But yeah, I do have some time from here to there to work on this. All right. So, any other business?
I would like to ask. We still need to review the remaining contributions, like homework kind of stuff from Brussels from last time. Like last week, we were discussing part of my stuff. I made changes because you said it wasn't clear. We still need to do that. I assume it would be scheduled for the next teleconference, would it?
Yes,
yeah,
or
Bill wants to revisit his, and Mirjana wanted to revisit hers.
Yeah.
So they should be not just mine.
Yes, so yes. That's correct. There are some things that need to be ironed out. For the next proposal, I'm not so worried they have to be, you know, 100%, but at least we can we'll play by ear. At first I want to commit to incorporate all the Brussels action items into the new proposal and then move on to, you know, the new non-visual analysis. And, yeah, we'll take it from there.
I'm just bringing that up because I'm trying to say that the sooner we can finish those parts and find, like, consensus on each of those individual documents, then the sooner they can be integrated into the proposal, which
mm-hmm.
is part of what I'm doing, for example. So,
yes, that's correct.
I think, like, put it, the stuff I wrote up, but if it doesn't meet consensus of the group, I'm not sure if I'm going to have to change it. So maybe it'd be good if we, I don't know, maybe review one or the other document by email still.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones we have already looked at, where people have said they're going to make additional changes. We already have discussed them fully. Maybe we could finalize the review by email and before the next telephone conference. But speculative very much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mikael. All right. So with that, we complete the call. Have a very happy holidays. And if I don't talk to you or we don't talk on the phone, have a very happy new year, and we'll talk again in January 10th. Thank you very much.
Thanks to all of you.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you.
Hi, everybody. Enjoy the holiday.
Well, too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.